blessed. Anyway, 1 John. We're going to go to the book of 1 John tonight, back toward the back of your New Testament. 1 John in chapter number 1. I give glory to God for the people that have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior this week. I give glory to God for that. I didn't have any part of that. That's all God doing what only God can do. But I'm very thankful. I was saved 38 years ago this month, April 1984. And the greatest decision I ever made in my life. My life's never been the same since that time when I trusted Christ. And I know, I know that God's not done. God is still in the soul-saving business. God is still in the life-changing business. He truly is. It really doesn't matter what direction this world is going or what's going on around us. God, you know, with Resurrection Sunday coming up, we do know that God sent His only begotten Son that we might know Him and know Him the free pardon of sin. Anyway, I thank God for what God's done this week. 1 John chapter 1, did you find it? Would you mind standing with me one more time for the reading of the Word of God in honor of God's Word? Excuse me. And we're going to read a little bit and then try to get right on into the message tonight. 1 John chapter number 1, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him, that would be God, a liar, and His word is not in us. I titled the message tonight, can you see where you're going if you're walking in the dark? And we're going to try to answer that with Scripture. We're going to try to answer that with the Word. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, I'm very overwhelmed standing behind this desk tonight. Just very overwhelmed at your goodness and grace and mercy. I'm very overwhelmed at the good spirit of Valley Avenue Baptist Church and the people that have been so faithful this week to be a part of this meeting. And I'm very thankful for everybody that's here tonight, Lord, members and visitors alike. And we're asking you to do those things that, well, that only you can take credit for. But for that to happen, Lord, we need your help. I pray that you just use this as a vessel to do your bidding, Lord, that you'd guide us and direct us in everything we say and do. That the power of the Spirit would be very real. Lord, that clarity of thought and clarity of speech, we need that. And then once again, that liberty to preach your word the way that you'd have it done. I pray for those in here that need help from you. I pray you'd give the help that they need. You know better what they need than I do. I pray you'd speak to their heart. And I pray for those in here that may not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, you're the only one that can convince them, Lord, but even as you do, Lord, make them understand that they have to come to Christ to be saved. I just pray, Lord, when invitation times comes, that for the saved and for the lost, that things would be done, Lord, that would be life-changing. And we'll thank you for whatever you accomplish, for we ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing for the reading of the Word of God. And please do be seated. The Apostle John's purpose in this epistle, this book, was to address some issues of the church in back in his day. He saw some people that were stumbling in the dark because of three things. They had a wrong view of Jesus Christ. It talks about that in verse 1 and 2. They had a limited understanding of God, verse number 5, and a deceived look at their own lives. They had a very deceived look at their own lives. And I think I said at the beginning, maybe even Sunday, you know, it's really an amazing thing how we can come into a revival meeting such as this, thinking that we're doing pretty good spiritually, but as the preaching of God's Word goes out, I mean, as the light is shining brighter, sometimes we realize maybe we're not doing so good. Maybe there's some things that need to be changed. Maybe there's some areas in our life that need to be dealt with, and God's very good about doing those things. And so anyway, the Apostle John, he alerts us to the missing ingredient in church life, and I really believe in most Christians' experience, and that's the joy of true fellowship. You know, he wants us to have fellowship one with another, and he wants us to have joy, full joy. It's very obvious as you read the New Testament. But the foundation of that kind of fellowship is not an agreement of facts or ideas, but it's a person. The person, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Christ. No, the one that talks about verse number 1 and 2, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And so the foundation of the fellowship that we are to have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, there wouldn't be any reason for us to be gathered together like this tonight if it wasn't for Him, because it's all about Him. Excuse me. But the extent of that fellowship is found in verse number 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So not only with one another, and I'm very thankful that we can come together. I love coming together at Riverside Baptist Church where I pastor. I love coming together with the people of God there and the fellowship that we can have. And I love the fellowship that we've had here. Very thankful for that. But not only with one another, but with God. God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that you can go directly to God? Aren't you glad that you can have fellowship with Him? It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But the end result of that, when it's done correctly, is to know real joy. Verse number 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Now understand this, he's talking about a constant joy here, not just some happiness because you've had this or that. It's a constant joy, not a variable, not based upon circumstances, but on a relationship, on a relationship. Please listen to me. If joy is to be based upon circumstances, then circumstances must always be positive or else there would be no joy. If joy is based upon a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then circumstances will have little or no effect upon your joy. The worst of circumstances will not be able to rob you of your joy. Look, there may not always be shouting hallelujah, but I'm telling you, we can have the joy of the Lord even in the midst of the storm, can't we? We can have the joy of the Lord in the valleys, can't we? No, it's absolutely fact. Yeah, absolutely the truth. However, we do have an enemy. A real enemy. Well, what's that, preacher? Sin. Sin is an ever-present enemy. It's waiting at the door with a desire for our lives, just to ruin our lives if it can. And John used two different contrasts to illustrate this, light and darkness, and saying versus doing. You know, our Christian life is to amount to more than just mere talk. Because truly, if we're living in true fellowship with God, then our walk will back up our talk. And if our walk is inconsistent and contradicts our talk, then we're living a lie. Come on, we're going to get into that, but that's what he's telling us here. Really, what he's telling us here, then we're living a lie. Our saying and doing must complement the fact that we are walking in the light, or else we're lying. Because I said it sometime this week, because anybody can let words out of their mouth, can't they? So it's one thing to say and another thing to do. And I really believe that these principles that are right here are some of the most important part of God's Word that we've ever heard other than the gospel. And so don't miss this tonight. Can you see where you're going if you're walking in the dark? So we stop there at verse number 5. Look at verse number 5 again. It says, This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So we see here the truth about who God is. God is light. It says right there in the Word, no darkness at all in God. And since God is light, He overpowers all darkness. Darkness is just merely the absence of light, isn't it? Come on, when light doesn't shine, then darkness exists. Darkness only becomes visible when the light is gone. Well, if we're going to think about that, let's think about then, what is light? Well, I read a description of light. I've got it down here that said this: light is described as an electromagnetic radiation in the wavelength range, including infrared, visible, ultraviolet, and X-rays, traveling in a vacuum speed with a speed of about 186,281 miles per second. Well, that's what I always said it was. Okay. So let's give another definition, something down on my level really here. Light, something that makes vision possible. Light makes vision possible. We do know that Jesus declared Himself to be the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse number 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus declared Himself to be the light of the world. And we know that everywhere He went, He brought light. Come on, everywhere He went, He penetrated darkness. Everywhere He went, He exposed sin. Everywhere He went, He revealed truth. Everywhere He went, He made seeing possible because He removed darkness, spiritual darkness. That's what He did. But we also know this, that light reveals dirt, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes we don't realize how dirty we are until we step into the light. You know, God's Word shows us the filth in our life and also warns us of its dangers. And I really do believe I've seen a lot of folks quit coming to church because they don't like what they see in themselves when they get there. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. I really believe a lot of people quit coming to a good Bible-believing, teaching, preaching church such as this one because they don't like what they see in themselves once they get there. Because light reveals dirt. Like, man, that preacher, every time I go down there, he just makes me feel bad. Well, you don't have to leave church feeling bad. No. I mean, God reveals dirt that we might allow Him to clean us up so that we don't have to feel bad about that. Sure. Here's the problem with this, about stepping away. About stepping away from a good church where the light is being declared. Here's the problem. In darkness, both evil and good look alike. I mean, in the light, they can be distinguished. But in total darkness, everything looks alike. Everything looks alike. What are you talking about? Years ago, as a young teenager, we lived out in New Mexico for a couple of years, and I had an opportunity to go to Carlsbad Caverns. Now, I can't remember how far we went underground. We went a long, long way underground in this tour. And we got down to the very bottom, and the tour guide said, okay, everybody be real still, and I'm going to turn the lights off down here just to show you how dark it can be. And he did turn the lights off. And I guarantee you, when he turned the lights off, everybody looked alike. Well, preacher, it's just, you know, you just have to wait till your eyes adjust. Oh, no, there's no light to adjust to. Not at all. It was total darkness. I mean, you could hold your hand as close as you want to. You're not going to see anything. I mean, you could have stayed down there there was no way that anything's going to... No, there's no way that it was going to come into vision. We are in total darkness, and everything down there looked alike. And when people call good evil and evil good, it's because they're in darkness. They're not seeing things the way that they should. And really and truly, even if you are not in total darkness, if you get away from the lighted path and walking in the shadows, you don't see things quite the way that you should, do you? No, we need the light that God has to offer because it keeps us on the right path, headed in the right direction. So the truth about God is not only that He is light, but in Him is no darkness. No darkness. Darkness cannot exist around God. The Scripture says God is light. It doesn't say He is a light, rather that He is light. So all light comes from Him. And I mentioned it earlier, John chapter 8, verse number 12, where the Bible says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." Now get this, headed somewhere here. "I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Now in that verse in John chapter 8, verse 12, the word darkness there is a Greek word. I don't know how to say it for sure. It looks like skosia. I'm not sure. It's not a common word. It's not a common word that speaks of physical darkness. But it refers to the consequences or the result of sin when it speaks there. So that verse could be understood this way. You stop right there. You're not trying to correct the Bible, are you? Heavens, no. We have the perfect Word of God right here in our Bible. I'm not trying to correct the Bible at all. No. Because the Word does mean that, that verse could be understood this way. I'm not saying it should be written that way, whatever, but it could be understood this way. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in the consequences of sin." If we are following Him, we do not have to walk in the consequences of sin. If we are following Him, as we're walking in the light, as He is in the light, we don't have to suffer the consequences of sin. Now, we know this, we all have that sin nature. Somebody say amen right there. We all have that sin nature, but once we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we don't have to walk in the consequences of sin anymore. We don't have to live in that light anymore. God is perfect light. We don't have to live that way anymore. No, God saved me out of a life of drug addiction and alcohol addiction, out of a horrible, horrible lifestyle, and He saved me. No, He saved me to make me free from all of those things. He didn't save me so I could continue on and not worry about it anymore. He saved me that I might follow Him in the light and that allow Him to clean up my life and make me different. No, He saved me so I don't have to cuss anymore. I don't have to smoke anymore. I don't have to drink anymore. I don't have to do drugs anymore. I don't have to go to the bar room anymore. No, I've been set free by Him because of what He did in my life. So the truth about God is light. But look at verse number 6. It tells us the truth about what we're doing. Verse 6 says, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." Now we need to hear what this verse is saying, because I really do believe it explains why there's so much failure in Christian lives today. Would you agree with me there's a lot of failure in Christian lives today? Yeah, and I believe that this really explains why there's so much failure in Christian lives today. So we have a second contrast. There's light and darkness, and there's saying versus doing. So if we say we have true fellowship, then our life should be a demonstration of that truth. The problem in the church with those that say one thing, but their lives show another, it still exists today. No, apparently it was a problem back during this time, or he wouldn't have been writing about it, but it still exists today. People saying one thing and doing another thing. People who claim they're in fellowship with God, they claim they're in fellowship with God, but they go on living in spiritual darkness, are not only living in darkness, but their saying does not line up with their doing. They have no standards, they have no convictions, they have no real holiness, they have no obedience to the commands of God. Many today in churches across this country are making big claims like, "Well, you know, I made this decision." Hallelujah. Our Christian life is made up of a series of decisions, isn't it? Some of the biggest decisions I've ever made are made in an altar in a church after a church service, after the Lord spoke to me during preaching. And we need to continue to make decisions, don't we? Come on, I've been saved 38 years and God still has a whole lot of work to do on Bill Marshall, I promise you. And I continue to make decisions to draw a little closer and do a little more and whatever God would have us to do. So it's very important that we continue to make those decisions. People say, well, I'm a member of this church. Hallelujah. Everybody ought to be a member of a good Bible-believing, teaching, preaching, independent, fundamental Baptist church. Somebody say amen. Absolutely so. Yeah, we ought to be a member of a church somewhere where we can be a part of where we being part of the body of Christ that continues to go ahead and propagate the gospel to this lost and dying world. We need to be a part of the church. People say, well, I gave to this cause. Hallelujah. Thank goodness. We need people to give. Well, it got real quiet there. No, we need people to give. It's God's plan that God's people give to God's church so the church can go ahead and do the business that God has set forth for it to do. So it's very, very important that we give. It's important that we give. Very important that we give. But what about your life? What about your life? I mean, what is your life saying to you? Your life. I mean, come on, we're looking for revival, right? We're seeking for God to do something and help us to be closer to Him, right? So what's your life saying to you? Is it all based on saying rather than doing? And if so, can you see where you're going if you're walking in the dark? I love the writings of the Apostle John. It's very easy to tell that he really loved Jesus. I mean, he had a close relationship with Jesus. And it's interesting that John is often thought of as being the cream puff disciple. Oh, John, the softy, the apostle of love. Oh, John. But you know, Jesus called him a son of thunder. And here in his writing for God, he's being very, very blunt, isn't he? Very blunt. Would you agree with me that the Bible's pretty pointed at times? Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely so. And here's being very blunt. It's like he's saying this. Wait. You say that you're right with God? Say you're right with God? But you're living in sin? Well, you're a liar. Oh, come on, don't look at me that way. He's the one that wrote it. I'm just telling you what he wrote. And that's exactly what he wrote. No, I'll repeat it. It doesn't bother me. I'll go ahead and repeat it. No. It's like he said, you say you're right with God, but you're living in sin? Well, wait a minute, Brother Marshall. We're all just sinners saved by grace. Exactly right. We are sinners saved by grace. That's right. We are. But God didn't save us to keep on sinning. He saved us so He might clean up our life and help us to walk in the light that we might be more like Jesus Christ. So we can't just make excuses. And it's one thing to fail God, and we do fail God on a pretty regular basis because we're sinners saved by grace. We are still sinners and robed in this flesh. Understand that. But it's one thing to fail God like that, and it's another thing to just to purposely be sinning when we know it's the wrong thing to do. And that's what he's addressing here. Truly what he's addressing here. Look, if I say that I'm right with God, but I live in sin, well, I'm lying. You can't be right with God and just purposely live in sin at the same time. Oh, come on, preacher. I know you'd get on some hobby horse somewhere. Come on. I love God. I love God. It's not like I don't love God. I love God, preacher. Well, for me to say that I love my wife is one thing. And I do. I love my wife. However, if I never talk to my wife, or if I rarely spend time with my wife, or if I don't listen to my wife, or if I'm not willing to sacrifice for my wife, how much would you say that I really love my wife? A baby is born, and that baby will eventually learn along with other things as it grows to walk. It learned to walk. When we're saved by the grace of God, the Bible says we're born again. We're babes in Christ. And we have to learn to walk, don't we? Come on, we have to learn to walk in the light. I understand that. Absolutely so. So a baby is born and starts to learn how to walk, but walking has an enemy. Oh, what? Gravity. Oh, come on. Isn't it amazing to watch little babies when they first start pull themselves up on something and they fall down and they pull up and they fall down. They try to walk and they fall down and all that. Yeah, gravity. And gravity for them, for a babe, causes stumbling, falling. But a believer also must learn to walk in the light. We have to learn to do that. It's a learned thing. It doesn't come instantaneously, does it? Man, I tell you, I wish it did. But it doesn't. It doesn't. But we also have an enemy. It's called sin. And it is constantly pulling us down and causing us to stumble and causing us to fall. It really is out there, no doubt. But we need to understand this. Sin is not simply outer disobedience. Sin is inner rebellion. What do you mean, preacher? It's a refusal to submit to the law of God. In fact, the essence of sin is a desire for personal independence from God's demands upon our life. We want to do what we want to do. Really, doesn't matter what the preacher says, doesn't matter what the Bible says, doesn't matter what the other people think about me. I just want to do what I want to do. No. I mean, it's in a rebellion to a holy God. This could be the answer to some of your problems. I'm just saying. I'm telling you, no. We all have to learn to walk in the light, don't we? And we do have this enemy. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who had called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." He called us to walk in the light. Come on, when it says we're a peculiar people, it doesn't mean peculiar people. No. We're a called out people. Been saved by the grace of God. We are His personal possession. Hallelujah. I belong to Him. I'm so thankful for that. But we're called out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Let me give you very, very, very quickly here six ways we stumble in the dark. Number one, stop coming to church. Worst thing you can ever do is stop coming to church. Oh, preach, I made some mistakes and I just don't feel like I... Well, to make mistakes, that's when you should run to church, not away from church. Amen. No. Don't stop coming to church. People stop coming to church because they try to avoid the light because light makes them feel uncomfortable. It makes them feel uncomfortable. Have you ever gone out to your backyard in the summertime looking for worms, going to go fishing? You go out in the backyard and you flip over an old board, you want to dig up something, and all the little bugs just scurry everywhere. You know why they do that? They don't like the light. They like the darkness. Number two, failing to read the Scriptures. I'm talking about ways we stumble in the dark, failing to read the Scriptures. Well, you know, I'm just not much of a reader. Then read what you can, but don't stop reading. No. You're going to stumble. You're going to stumble in the dark if you fail to read the Scriptures. And a lot of people just, a lot of people just do that because they want to remove the truth that contradicts their darkness. Well, every time I read the Bible, it just makes me feel bad. Then get right with God. No, I'm not trying to be ugly. I mean, just get right with God. I mean, what it says to do, do, and what it says to stop doing, stop doing. I'm telling you, no, it's just, I've told people at home so many different times, I've told the congregation at home many times, if you would just read this Bible and do what it says, it'd make my job a lot easier. But it's truth. We all have one, right? And God speaks to us through this, doesn't He? Absolutely so. Very, very clearly. I mean, He gives us direction. He's a personal God. That's the way that He is. And He wants to do that. But you cannot get that if you're not reading the Scriptures. Anyway, number three, ways we stumble in the dark. Number three, don't participate in the services. just come and hope somebody's a blessing to you instead of trying to be a blessing to somebody else. You know, it amazes me that there's people that come in and they truly sing out while others just seem to be thinking about other things. And then some just sit in the services and sleep, and some seem to never hear one thing that's said in a church service. I tell you, I just don't get much out of church. It's because you don't put anything into it. You get out what you put in. That's why I encourage you sometime earlier this week, I encourage you, sing out unto the Lord, I'm telling you. He blesses us just for singing praises unto His name. It's amazing how it will help your own heart to receive what He has for you if you'll be a part and participate in the services. Number four. Big one. Number four, avoid self-examination. We're talking about ways we stumble in the dark. Just avoid self-examination. And this is a very big one. I mean, just avoid those hard, penetrating questions that might confront you. Shun all recognition of what's right and holy. Just go ahead and lie to yourself about your spiritual condition. Oh, I'm doing okay, you know. As a pastor, I ask people in our congregation, you know, fairly often, just trying to help them be their pastor, Brother Moore, I ask them, you know, well, how's your walk with God? And I'll get this. Well, preacher, it could be better. Oh, okay. Well, why isn't it? I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm telling you, no. I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be trying to lead them in the way that God would have them to go. I'm not trying to be ugly. I want to help them walk with God. So why isn't it better? I can tell you this. It's not God's fault. Okay, I'll say it again. It's not God's fault. Not at all. Oh, no. If we're not where we need to be, if our spiritual walk could be better, it's not God's fault that it's not better. He's given us everything we need. He saved our soul. The Holy Spirit of God works and lives in us. We have the Word of God. We have access to God by prayer. We have a church where we can come to and worship Him. It's not God's fault if our spiritual walk isn't where it needs to be. We just avoid self-examination. I'm telling you, if we're going to stay right with God, every once in a while, we just need to go get alone with God and say, Lord, would you search my heart? I need to know where I'm wrong. I need to know where I'm failing. I need to know where I'm weak. I need to know where I've stepped out of line. Please, God, would you please help me? Yeah, we're talking about ways we stumble in the dark. Number five, compare yourself with others. This is a big one, too. Just pick some of the weakest people in the church and compare yourself with them. Well, I'm doing better than so-and-so. Or better yet, just use their walk in the dark for your reason not to serve God. I tell you what, if they get right with God, why don't you get right with God? I mean, why don't you compare yourself with the Savior? He's our measuring stick. Absolutely so. Okay, number six, and one of the biggest ones I think on the list is this, never admit your struggles. Never admit you're struggling. I'm talking about ways we stumble in the dark. Never admit your struggles. Just put a mask on and pretend like everything's okay. Never seek counsel from your pastor or a good Sunday school teacher. I mean, just act like everything's okay until your whole life falls apart. Oh, there's a lot of people that do that. No, they come to church, they put on their churchianity mask. They know all the right things to say. Oh, hello, brother. Hello, sister. How are you? How are you doing? Oh, mercy, if it's any better, there'd have to be two of me. When in all reality, it's not that way at all. Things are falling apart. Your walk with God isn't what it should be. You've got problems in your life that you don't even know how to handle on your own. Somewhere, I'm pretty sure in the Bible, it says something about confessing our faults one to another. And that's not just pouring out your dirty laundry all the time. No. But, I mean, it's good to have a good brother or sister in Christ that you can go to that can be an accountability partner, somebody that you can talk to that you know, somebody that you can talk to that you know is not going to talk to the rest of the church. Thought I'd better say that loud. Someone you can admit your struggles to. Everybody needs somebody like that. Absolutely so. We've gotten good at acting like we're doing just fine when that's not really the case. What's your condition? Are you really where you need to be? How's your walk with God? John states there's only two options here. Walking in the light, like a child learns to take those physical steps each day, we learn how to apply spiritual truths to our lives. Come on, little by little, we learn how to walk with the Lord. And it never stops, does it? Some of you older Christians, you can agree with me here. It never stops. Doesn't matter how old we get, God continues to try to help us to walk closer to Him, doesn't He? Absolutely, very thankful. So we're either walking in the light or we're groping in darkness. Just stumbling around, falling over the smallest obstacle because we choose not to walk in the light. But if we're going to live a life of holiness, it does take time and practice. I mean, just like an athlete that has excelled in some particular sport, they had to start off learning to put one foot in front of the other, didn't they? And it's the same way with the Christian walk. It doesn't come natural. We learn as we follow the Savior. As we follow Him. Come on, as we pick up our cross daily and follow Him. That's how we learn to walk. And by the way, He did say, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And I know that we'll not. No. I know there's no such thing as sinless perfection while we're down here. I understand that completely. But we can learn to sin less, can't we? Yeah, we can. And that brings us here in the Scripture to the truth about what Christ can do. Look at verse number 7. It says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." So we see here the truth about what Christ can do for us. But to walk with Jesus, it has to be in His territory. Has to be in His territory. You know, I just don't know what the will of God is. Let me start at the very top. The will of God is that you're saved by God's grace. That's at the very top. Come on. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. No. Don't buy into this stuff. Well, God's already chosen who's going to go to heaven and who's going to go to hell. That's a lie of the devil. No. I'll say it again. That's a lie of the devil. No. God doesn't pick and choose who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. No. We have that choice. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." I mean, He calls us in, doesn't He? He came to save the world. He came to save the world. And so number one is that we'd be saved by the grace of God. Number two is that we would follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. The first step of obedience, that we're going to identify with Him. We're going to identify with Him, that we are walking with Him, that we are giving our life to Him. The third is that we begin to be discipled, that we learn all things whatsoever He hath commanded us, that we learn those truths. We start this walk step by step by step by step. Absolutely so. And that we join a good Bible-believing, teaching, preaching church. Absolutely. No. You will not ever grow the way that God intended for you to grow unless you are a member of a good Bible-believing, teaching, preaching church. You're just not going to grow. You're not going to thrive. You're not going to be strong. It's not going to happen. It is God's will that you do that. And then that you're at church every time the doors are open. That you're there for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival services, even if some old guy's going to yell at you every time you come in. You're there. No. So these are basic things that we know that we should be doing. And if we're not doing these things, then we're not walking in the light the way that He intends for us to walk in the light. We have strayed off the path a little bit. Well, it's not like I'm way off the path, but I'm telling you, I even said it earlier, I'm telling you, we're walking on a path where the light is. We can see everything. You get off of the path and it's in the shadows and you can't see things the way that you used to see. It's very, very important that we are walking in His territory. We have to walk where He walks, walking in the light. And when we're walking with Jesus in the light, it is then that true fellowship is possible with one another. True fellowship is possible with one another. When two church members are not, listen please, when two church members are not getting along, it's because one of them is walking in darkness. Because the same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. Very same one. And He's not going to disagree with Himself. And if we're following Him, we're headed in the same direction. No, absolutely so. If we're following him, we're headed in the same direction. Excuse me. Walking in the light brings fellowship one with another. Oh, I wish I had time to go over to Matthew chapter 18 and preach out of there for a while. I'm telling you, it's God made a way that we can do this. I'm saying we can exist together in a church as we did. We can exist together in a church as we would down at the coffee shop or at work or just acquaintances with some common interest. Or we can know true godly fellowship as we walk together with Jesus. And it's really different. Definitely is different, for sure. But to walk in the light, listen to this. What's this walking in the light thing? I'm glad you asked. To walk in the light is to live a life illumined by the truth, in constant contact with God, with no tolerance for darkness. We can't tolerate the darkness. I'll say it again. It is to live a life illumined by the truth of the Word of God, in constant contact with God, with no tolerance for darkness. Well, a little sin never hurt anybody. That's a lie of the devil too. Sin destroys. Don't have time to get in that either. A preacher of the past, Harry Ironside, he said that this verse gave him some confusion because in his mind, it meant to walk according to the light. Stay with me here, stay with me. It meant to walk according to the light. And he wore himself out trying to obey every command until he realized that it says to walk in the light. Now get this. No, stay with me. I know. Walk in the light. See, if I'm walking in the light, I know the real nature of sin in me. Oh, come on. I'm not walking in the light so I can point fingers at you and say, you're a wicked sinner, even though you're probably a wicked sinner. Okay, I'll go over here then. Saying that you're a wicked sinner. I didn't get very good response on that side. Anyway, No. Walking in the light is so that we can see the nature of sin in us. Because when we get to a point, I know you're scared because I come off the platform, it always goes longer, doesn't it? When we get to the point where we are looking down our nose at somebody else, we're not in good spiritual shape. No, I say it again. We have no right to look down on anybody. It's only by the good grace of God that we're saved by the grace of God. Only by the good grace of God. We have no right to look down on anybody whatsoever. But we have great hopes, as pastors I know, we have great hopes that people will walk in the light so that they'll know the real nature of sin in them. Because God deals with us personally, doesn't He? Come on, He tells us where we're wrong, doesn't He? And He tells us when we're lost, doesn't He? And He makes us to know what we should do and what we shouldn't do, doesn't He? You know why He does that? Because He loves us more than we can even understand. And He wants us to live that holy life. He wants us to live a good life. He wants us to be full of the joy of the Lord. He wants us to have this fullness of joy. He wants that for us. So it's where we walk, not how. Because we can look just right on the outside and not be right with God. Somebody say amen. We can look perfect on the outside and not be right with God. It's true. Yeah. Where we are walking, though, will show up by how we are walking. It means to walk daily in the presence of God and to allow His Word to shine on us and His power to strengthen us. But we have to be in His territory, not the devil's territory. And we have to remember that light reveals dirt. But also to walk with Jesus, it has to be on His terms. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So it talks about the cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Now this phrase contains a Greek word, karthasis, from which we get the English word carthagenic. Of course, carthagenic is a cleansing agent. The idea of being purified by fire. or to cleanse by purging, or to make free from corruption, or unstained by guilt. Somebody say amen right there. Glory to God for the wonderful blood of Jesus Christ that I don't have to walk around guilty anymore. So this word also means a continuous cleansing. Continuous. A constant activity in our lives. So the word forgiveness in verse number 9, where it says, if we have no sin, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word forgiveness in verse 9 is a word from which, come on, brain. It is from a word which is less thorough, get this please, which is less thorough, and it carries the idea of a one-time removal. While this cleansing in verse number 7 is a constant activity, it's in the present tense. What does that mean? Meaning the blood of Jesus Christ just keeps on cleansing. Listen, please listen. It just keeps on cleansing as we walk in the light. As we walk in the light, we have this constant cleansing. I'm thankful for 1 John 1:9. I've just about worn it out. If we confess our sins, He is faithful just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's when we do fail, that we can go to Him for that one-time cleansing. Amen. Lord, I need forgiveness for this. And by the way, when we do that, that's not just a formula where we can come down and say, oh Lord, forgive me. Just forgive me. I know that I've done wrong. And then go on and just keep on doing the same thing over and over. No. When we come to God that way, asking for forgiveness and that way confessing our sin, it's that confessing where we're saying, Lord, I need help with this. I don't want to do this anymore. Come on, it's not just confessing like we can confess it and just go on and do it again and again and again and just keep on coming. No. That's presumptuous sin. And I don't even have time to get into that message. But I'm telling you, we need to come and confess it, wanting God to help us with that. Lord, correct me. Help me. That to be different. Forgiveness deals with our position, while cleansing deals with our fellowship. Once saved, we never lose our salvation. Once you're truly born again by the Spirit of God, there's no way. You cannot take that Bible and prove to me that we could lose our salvation. No. But without His cleansing, we can lose His fellowship, can't we? That sweet fellowship that we can have becomes not so sweet. In fact, distant, if we're not careful. But that brings us to the last point. Somebody say amen there. Last point. Everybody's looking for the last point. Brings us to the last point. Hey, I got farther to drive than you do. That brings us to the last point. Yeah, sorry about that. It's terrible. And that's the truth about what Christ wants from us. What He wants from us. Again, verse number 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So first, He wants us to walk in the light. We just touched that. That is in Him. If we're walking with Him, we'll not be... Listen, if we're walking with Him, we will not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I said, if we're really walking with Him, we'll not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Oh, come on. If we're walking like He's right there beside us, because He is, well, practically right there beside us. He's in us by the Holy Spirit of God. If we're walking and living like He's right there by us, we're not going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We're not going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Come on, even when we get tempted like that, we'll be talking to Him. Lord, I need some help right here. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be like this. Oh, Lord, You've got to help me to overcome this temptation. You've got to help me. You've got to give me a way out of this. Come on. I mean, if we're walking with Him like that, we're not going to be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We're not going to be going places we shouldn't go and saying things we shouldn't say and being like we shouldn't be. We're not going to be like that. No. But He wants to clean us spiritually. We also talked about that in verse number 7, to be continually cleansed. To be continually cleansed. Now, let me touch something here real quick. Well, preacher, you know, there's these folks come to church, and I mean, they're continually having problems. I mean, man, they're stumbling, falling all the time, but good grief, they just keep on coming to church like nothing is wrong. Now, let me stop you here for just a second. Let me stop you right there. Because it might just be, it could just be that they keep coming to church under the cleansing blood trying to get victory over that sin in their life. If we cannot be compassionate and long-suffering, trying to help people to overcome things in their life that have been besetting to them, then what are we doing as a church? And there are those that get saved out of a hard life, aren't there? Come on, and you have to help them along, don't you? To be there for them, encourage them. Come on, we're to exhort one another, edify one another, encourage one another, love one another. We can go on with that list a long way. And that's the way, exactly the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be full of compassion like Jesus Christ is full of compassion. We're supposed to be full of forgiveness like He's full of forgiveness. Full of mercy and full of grace. That's the way that we're supposed to be. Do you understand Christian means Christ-like? Do you understand that He saved us that we might be conformed into the image of His Son? And man, as a church, people are looking for help. How can we help them if we're looking down on them? Maybe they're trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. I've seen cases like that in my life, and in our own church, I've seen cases like that. In fact, I've seen it in my own life. Times in my own life where I was going to church and had struggles. But I guarantee you this, I've never seen anybody drop out of church and then go on to live a victorious Christian life. I've just never seen that happen. I'm not trying to be ugly when I say that. It's just a matter of fact. It's a matter of fact. Well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's very true. Well, I can worship God anywhere. Oh, yeah, you can, but you won't. You won't. That's why Jesus started the church while He was here anyway. And I've tried to preach about four messages in this, haven't I? I'm going to keep on going here. If we continue walking, as verse number 7 encourages to do, we will become more mature in our Christianity, without a doubt. But verse 8, I said this is the last, and it is. Verse 8 again, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Well, you Baptists, you always just, you know, sinner saved by grace. You're just sinner saved by grace. It's what we are. It's what we are. I'm not proud of that whatsoever. I remind myself of that because it helps me to keep my eye on Him more. Helps me to trust Him more. Helps me to look to Him more for what I need. And so anyway, what I see here in verse number 8 is that He wants us to be honest. Now look up here for a second. No, we're right then. The Lord wants us to be honest. Honest. We're pretty good at putting on a facade, aren't we? I don't know if we so choose to. Pretty good on putting on a show. We are. But He wants us to be honest. He wants us to be honest about our walk with Him, for sure. When I ask people how their walk with God is going, I'm not trying to be mean to them. I just want them to be honest with me. Well, preacher. Well, I tell you, I've really been struggling with my prayer life. Well, hey, I'll pray with you about that. Or, hey, why don't we pray about that? Well, preacher, I've been struggling. I've been 3 or 4 days not in my Bible. Oh, son, you can't do that. No. That's going to make you weak. That's not good. You've got to get back in your Bible. No, I just want to be honest with me. Not so I can kick them. Heavens to Betsy. God's never kicked me while I was down. No. So He wants us to be honest about our walk with Him. And He wants us to be honest about our sin. That's why we have altar call. That's why we have altar call when we have church. That's why we have altar call. Because if God deals with us about sin that's in our life, we need to take time, whether we come down to an old-fashioned altar, whether we make an altar at our seat, whatever, we need to take time to be honest about our sin. But He also wants us to be honest with each other. You know, you really don't have to put on a show to be at church. For 14 years, I've told Riverside Baptist Church, I just want to be real. What you see is what you get. I ain't fancy. I'm not smart enough to be fancy. There's nothing fancy about me. I don't want to be different in the pulpit than I am out of the pulpit. I just want to be real. I just want to be real. I just want to be honest. And we need to be honest with one another. That's why it's That's why it's good to have the fellowship of the church. Truly. So, can you see where you're going if you're walking in the dark? Let me answer that for you. Nope. So the invitation tonight would just be this. Are you walking in the light? God wants us to be honest. Are you walking in the light? No, I'm asking you, do you have real fellowship with Jesus and with others in the church family? Or are you just fooling yourself with your own deceptive words and continuing day after day after day, maybe week after week now, maybe even month after month now, to live in your sin when Jesus is waiting to cleanse you and make you free? Because He can cleanse you from all sin. And He can make you free. I know all the songs say He set me free, and I'm not against that. I sing those pretty loudly. But the Bible says He makes us free. He makes us free. Sometimes that takes some steps, doesn't it? Come on, sometimes it's not just immediately that the chains fall off. Isn't that right? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Now you see why I'm jealous that people can really sing. Look full on His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Well, absolutely. Glory to God. So what we need to do is step out of the darkness into the light. Well, how come, preacher? Good grief. Why is that? Because of verse number 4. And I'm done. I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to read it. Because of verse number 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The Lord wants us to have fullness of joy. It's going to be hard to do if we're walking in the dark. Let's bow our heads. Would you bow your heads? Thank you for being so patient tonight. Thank you so much for that. I do appreciate it very, very much. Been so attentive and so patient. Thank you. Thank you for that. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Come on, don't quit before I do, but our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You're here tonight. You just be very honest with God and with me just momentarily. You'd be very honest. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died tonight that I would go to heaven. I'm not sure that I've ever trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm just not sure. Would you let me pray for you? Would you just slip your hand up wherever you're at and just let me pray for you right there and there and there. God bless you there, over there. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you so much for that. It's okay. You can put your hands down. You didn't raise your hand before. You want to raise it now. That's me too, preacher. Please pray for me when you pray for these others right there. God bless you. God bless your honesty. Others, anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out. Right there, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. Thank you. God bless you. Others, anybody else? That's me, preacher. Please just remember me in prayer. Just want to remember you in prayer. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that. Truly. God loves that. He loves that when we're honest. When we're honest with ourselves, honest with Him. Anybody else before we move on? Anybody else? You're here tonight and you'd say, preacher, I don't know that I'm walking in the light the way that I should be. And God really dealt with my heart about that tonight. Would you please pray with me that I will do what I need to do to step back into the light? I want to pray with you that way. God spoke to your heart tonight. Would you slip your hand up wherever you're at and just let me do that? Would you let me do that? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you all across the auditorium. I appreciate that. You may put your hands down right there. You may put your hands down. You didn't raise your hand before, but you want to raise it now? Yep, that's me. I don't think I'm walking in the light the way that I should. God spoke to my heart tonight. Preacher, please pray with me about that. God bless you there and there and there. I appreciate that. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you so much for that. Heavenly Father, we pray for those in here that do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We can't save them. We can't save them. Only you can save them. But Lord, we pray you'd convince them and convict them and bring them to a place that they would just come to you, where they would put their faith and trust in you. And even during the invitation tonight, if they would come and allow someone, allow the pastor to direct them and someone to take them and explain to them how they can get that settled. Lord, it's the most important decision they'll ever make before they leave this world. It's important that they make it before they leave this world. Lord, deal with them. Help them to even come tonight. Lord, and trust Christ before it's too late. Men, hands all over the auditorium. You've spoken to hearts, and I don't know what their need is whatsoever. I have no idea, but you know their need, and you know how to meet it. That's a great thing about services such as this one. As we confess our need to you, you're the one that can do something about it. So I pray for them, and I lift them up to you, and I pray that you'd help them as they submit themselves to you, as they are obedient to you and what you would have them to do. And even as they come to an altar tonight and just talk to you about that, I pray that you give them the start of victory that's needed in their life to overcome these things and to get back on that path of walking in the light as you are in the light. Lord, we're thankful that you love us the way that you do. You want to save those that are lost. You want to help us that are saved. And I pray your perfect will would be done in these next few minutes of invitation time. And we'll give you honor and glory and praise for whatever that you might do. For we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. The altar's open.